I think some of you are familiar with a musical artist named Fran McHenry. He does Christian pop, beautiful, beautiful music. He has a song that is called Haul Away that is absolutely beautiful. It's poetic. Here are some of the words from it. There's a hollow place inside me at this table set for one. He speaks of this place of despair, this place that lacks holiness. He says, in that place, tender words go unspoken, never mending what has broken. Love goes hungry on this highway. Justice lost her balance here. Faith went missing before pain did. Trust, bound and tied, became fear. I look at that song and those words, and I wonder if whoever wrote it, I don't think it was Fran McHenry, but whoever wrote it, I wonder if they're Episcopalian, and they wrote it the last week of Advent. Because this week of the church year can weigh pretty heavily on us. We have the pressures of the season. We want to fast forward to Christmas. If we're honest, we'd like to fast forward through it sometimes. Our days literally have more darkness than at any time of the year. This is a difficult time. We have this inner conflict. We believe in a loving God, but we endure this dark human condition with its tragedies, its losses, its conflict. If God has redeemed us, why is our world so broken? Why has justice lost her balance? Trust been turned against us? Why has faith gone missing when the pain remains ever with us? There is a seeming silence of God where healing is so desperately needed. And we do wonder why the darkness so often seems to be winning. The people of Jesus' time and before asked the same questions. How long would they have to wait for the Messiah? In earlier days, when the prophet Micah wrote, the people were facing invasion by the Assyrians and oppression within their own society, their own leaders in Jerusalem. How long will we have to wait? They wondered. We look at the world today, and when we can get outside of ourselves, we wonder the same thing. Micah's prophecy insists that God's people will live secure. But don't we wonder sometimes if we will ever live secure again? Terrorism and violence have shattered our sense of security. War and poverty and accidents, old age, illness, all of these things work on us, and we wonder, is this the world God has redeemed? Our gospel story today tells of another time when it must have been difficult to believe God's promises. We have an encounter between Mary and Elizabeth. And in that encounter, the child that Elizabeth bears recognizes that Mary's child will be a fulfillment of what was spoken by the Lord. The fulfillment would be a reversal of fortune. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. Can we believe it? Can we believe that Messiah is coming, given the state of the world? And if it is the truth, how do we participate in that coming and help to prepare the way? It helps me to notice that this prophetic encounter happens between two poor, disenfranchised women. They're basically nobodies at this point. And in them we see the recognition that God's reign will begin with people of humble origin, that reversal of fortune will begin with people like us. Amid it all, our God promises a security that the world cannot give. It is transcendent, it is eternal, it is above and beyond all that we worry about and strive for. So in dark days, where can we begin to see that hope now? The biblical story points toward a little place called Bethlehem. The story of God's people looks not only to a little town, but to a little human soul. Mine. Yours. We are given the task of changing the manifestation of salvation from a cosmic, global event to a personal one. Jesus comes to me. What will I have the courage to do with the knowledge of that presence? I am to sacrifice in my own way. We see continually in the New Testament indications that God no longer wants animal sacrifices. Those sacrifices had to be repeated over and over, which meant they were never enough. So what kind of sacrifice would be enough? What kind of sacrifice would begin to bring in the kingdom of God? Ultimately, I think God wants us to sacrifice ourselves, our time and our agendas and our power. Hebrews tells us that Jesus has already saved us and has saved us in a final way. What is our response to be? Hebrews says, "See, God, I have come to do your will. You have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings." This verse in Hebrews underlines the changing emphasis from one focusing on the law to one which focuses on the formation of character, on the way one human being treats another. The law was given early in the history of God and God's people, but it was given to shape our character into people who will be loving human beings. And everything we do, ritual, worship, prayer, prophecy, in our time and in the time of the temple, all of that comes together in a person. First in Jesus, and then in us. All of salvation history points toward the incarnation of God's will in Jesus and in us. Our call, when we sense the darkness, is to realize I can do something right now. One magazine I read had this wonderful quote: "Everything you do, including nothing, influences the world around you." That is a declaration of our power, our ability to help usher in the light and the coming of Jesus Christ. If I realize that I can influence the world around me, that means I can start to bring the light to the dark world, the violent world, the contentious world. In the dark days, the dark times for us, yes, the song remains unsung. The darkness seems to be winning Tender words go unspoken. We feel fail to mend what was broken. Faith went missing before pain did. But in one personal decision, first to follow Jesus and then to imitate him, in that one personal decision lies the hope we feel as Christmas Day approaches. The hope is incarnate in one person, Jesus. And subsequently, that one person can become me. Amen.